I am not a pastor. future pastor, though, of the audience. Inside joke. You know, we're talking about baby dedication. I just really just kind of want to add to what Pastor Allen was talking about. And, you know, when we dedicate Ezra, it's just not necessarily acknowledging that he's a gift from God. Or we're just praying a simple blessing over him, hoping and praying that he turns out to be okay. But it's true what Alan was saying is, you know, Aaron and Kathy, what it is it's really a commitment to say, God, I'm going to raise him in the ways of the Lord. And truly, truly, I can say is that Bree and I are testimonies of that. And I am a truly, truly proud father. You know, we have two kids, Jasmine, who's 16, and Micah, who's 19, who's in missions right now. Some of y'all know that, you know, the doctor said that we weren't able to have kids. That makes it even that much more sweeter to be able to really raise up two good kids. And I'm proud not necessarily because the kids are good and well-mannered or because they made good grades, right? It's because their willingness to seek after the Lord and really want to be in God's presence. And so a lot has to attribute that towards a couple of things. Let me first start with this. There's a statistic in 2021 by the Barna Group, which is a Christian research company. And they do these statistics on just kind of, you know, different types of, you know, Christian things at the church. One of the statistics in 2021 was they were doing a survey of parents that were concerned about their kids' spirituality or their spiritual growth. And so hear me out. In 2021, they did a survey, and only 51% of active Christians or participating Christians cared for their kids, to grow spiritually. And that just really, really shocked me. More or less because of the 49%, how much is the enemy having a heyday with? And we really got to be really understanding how we really need it. Because when revival hits this house and we're going to have kids of all different ages, our mindset's got to be really, we need to take care of these kids, right? So there's a running joke when our kids were little, they were considered the best well-mannered kids or the best behaved kids. Now, in Pastor Lena's eyes, they could do no wrong. I said, well, you come to my house for 5 minutes and that might change your mind, right? And some may say it's because the way that we disciplined our kids, you know, according to Proverbs 22:5, I'll let you read that. Some of y'all know that. But if I'm being truthfully honest, the reason why our kids are the way they are today is because we got them really starting seeking the presence of God at a young age. See, if you read the scripture, it says in Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you're in his presence, once you've tasted how great God is and what he's done in your life, kind of like we were doing in worship this morning, nothing else matters. You don't want anything else in life. And so when you've tasted that, so what we've done is, for example, is that's the reason why the Epic Kids, I believe, is they come to worship first before they actually go to class. It's because they get a sense, a taste at a young age to be in his presence. They get a taste to see the miracles, signs, and wonders that happen in this place. They get a taste to see the healings. They get a taste to see God moving in this place. And so, as an example, is I remember when our kids were young, we would see Micah and Jasmine, and again, they were probably around Ezra's age, a toddler. But during worship, I would look, and they would be raising their hands. They would be clapping. They would be dancing, and they couldn't really even talk, but they would be moving their lips. But see, getting him in that progressive mode at a young age of getting him used to or acclimated into the presence of God was so important and so key. And so for parents that have young kids, I say these are keys that we've learned. And even when we were, you know, after even worship, even at nights, we would go and we would pray and we would prophesy over our kids. And one of the things that really transpired or transformed our kids is we would take a CD. Some of you kids might not know what a CD is these days. But we would get a worship CD and we would put it on repeat and we would play it throughout the night. And if you ask my kids right now, what's their favorite thing to do? And they'll tell you it's worship. Because we imparted that to them at a young age. Amen. And so I'm also proud to see, I mean, Kirk and Angie with Hannah and Riley and Myla and Charlotte. I mean, just to see your kids start praying over adults and prophesying and preaching and just loving them. I mean, man, what a blessing that is to see that. You see, because they're not the statistic of 2021, right? They're not of the 49%. And so that's my little quick, I guess, sermon. But I also want to say that I'm very, very proud of this young man that's going to be coming up after me. Ian and Phil, you did such a great job. I mean, for the season that I've been here, that we've been here, just to see him grow, and he's actually worked with me a few times, and just to be able to break bread with him and just see what God has been doing in his life is such a blessing. So can be any more proud. So, Paul.
Thank you. I was smart. I left my water bottle up here, so I don't have to carry it with me up here. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, my name is Paul. I go to this church, but I just want to say thank you to Pastors Easy and Lena and everybody who came before me for just everything that you've planted into me and everything that you've taught me and my parents as well for raising me really at a young age to grow in the Lord and seek after him. But it's amazing to see all the generations that are represented in the room today. Like we have Pastor Easy and Pastor Lena, and then we have Alan and Rodney down to me, and then we have Ezra in the room. I love this. I love the heart of God because he's not just for one generation. He doesn't prefer one over the other. He prefers every generation. And so is Epicenter. Because we align with the word of God, we look at every generation, not one over the other. But there's one thing that every generation in this church, really in the body of Christ, they all need to have in common. And that's they need to have a relationship with God. And they need to know who he is as a father and how much he loves you and everybody in this room. But I know many people in the room, they say they have a relationship with God. And they might go to church. Y'all might go to church or do whatever you do for the Lord. But does he have a relationship with you? Have you allowed him into your life? Have you allowed him to change things in your life? It's been a while since I've spoken. And the last time I've spoken, I actually spoke, I'm going to speak on the same passage of scripture that I did a long time ago. And it's about the prodigal son. I've read it thousands of times, but this time felt really different. Because usually I'll look at what the son did. What the son did, he ran away and did all these things. But the last time I read it, God highlighted to me the heart of the Father, the unconditional love of the Father, and how it changed the Son and what that did in the Son. And it's a perfect example of how the kingdom of heaven thinks about us and how God the Father looks at his kids and what his love can do in your lives. Right. So if you could open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'll give you a second. But I'm going to be reading out of there. I'm in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. In the New King James Version. I'm only going to read a couple of verses, but I'll be hopping around. Just be aware of that. Okay, so verse 11, it says, then he said, it's Jesus, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. There's a couple things like that he is saying, that the son said to his father. In only one verse, he indirectly communicated very many different things to his father. So one thing at the time, in biblical times, and the culture of the time, there was an inheritance. So it was usually given when the father was on his deathbed, he'd give all of that he had to his kids and he'd divide it up. The oldest son would get a double portion, but this was the younger son, so he got a smaller portion. So honestly, he was saying to his father, he wishes that he was dead because that's the only time you got the inheritance. Secondly, he demonstrated an act of rebellion because he got the money, he got all the goods that he had, and he spent them how he wanted to. In some translations, it says that he wasted it drinking and partying, wasting it on things of this world that will come to waste. And actually, in the Bible, during that time for the culture, there was a law written for children who were rebellious. It's actually in Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. I'm not going to go there. But it says that for rebellious children, the punishment for that is you stone the kid, like you kill the kid. So there was a punishment for that as well. And thirdly, he said to his father that he no longer wanted to have a relationship with his dad. He no longer wanted that. He wishes he was gone. He didn't want that. And one thing about the Bible, whenever I read it, I try to apply it to me today and I want to put myself in that perspective. So the way I imagine it, imagine like your father, and so many of you are in this room are parents here. You're a parent and your son or your daughter comes up to me and says, hey, everything that you have, can you write me a check of 25% of everything that you have? I'm going to go out and I'm going to spend it because I've seen what you did with your wealth, but I could do it better. I could do it better than you can. Yeah, even though I'm a kid, I'm a different generation than you. There's things that I know that you don't. And that's what he said to his father. He was saying he ran away from the guidance of his father and he spent the money how he saw fit to do with it. He said he didn't need his father anymore. Now, worldly knowledge would say that it's too late for the son, that he's too far gone, that he can't come back to his father. Many of us in the room would be offended and angry at what the son just did to their father, to him. But the kingdom of heaven speaks a different word over the situation. It looks beyond what's happening in the natural, what someone might even say to you, or even the way you feel. The kingdom of heaven goes beyond that. And I was actually reading in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's called the love chapter in the Bible. And I read it multiple times, like for many days straight. But I was caught on one verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. And it's on the thing. And it says, it's talking about love. And it says, it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. I read that verse hundreds of times and I really didn't understand it, but I prayed about it and I studied it. And really God spoke to me a better understanding of the verse. And what he spoke to me, it says, the unconditional love of the Father joyfully remains steadfast while enduring any situation or circumstance. I'm gonna read it again. The unconditional love of the Father joyfully remains steadfast while enduring any situation or circumstance. Unconditional love doesn't care how long a person's been gone. It doesn't care it doesn't get offended. It doesn't get hurt. It looks beyond certain circumstances. It doesn't even matter if you've never had an interaction with the Lord in your life. Unconditional love of the Father wants you and desires you, and it never fails. Right. And going back to the scripture, I'm going to be in verse 14, continuing on, talking about the prodigal son. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself in that moment. There was a moment. He was doing it for a long period of time, but there was a moment he realized something is wrong. He said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And pause right there. The son came to himself in that moment. He realized there was something that was missing in his life. He's been doing it his own way for so long, There's people in that country who probably knew him. Oh, that's the guy, the foreigner who came here. He used to be a Christian. He used to live like this. But look at him now, living with the pigs, living in the slop. Honestly, he looks like a pig to me now. He smells like it. Everything about him pointed to a pig. He himself no longer believed that he was a part of it anymore. He is a good son anymore. He didn't think himself worthy to be a son anymore. He said, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And he was thinking about the servants. He wasn't even thinking like a son anymore. But even after all that he had done to his father, how he betrayed him, he knew that if he went to his father, something would change. He knew that in that household, the goodness of that household, there was something different. There was something different than that household, in the heavenly household, than there was in those fields. In Romans 2:4, it says, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And even after everything he'd done, he wanted reconciliation with his father. He wanted forgiveness, even though his father didn't say anything to him for probably many years. Right. Now, continuing on in verse 19 through 24. So, continuing on, he says, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The evidence of what the son did was still on him. He still felt like a sinner. Going to his father, he started to say, Father, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve this. And honestly, if you look at it, it says once he had that realization of what he was missing, he got up and left. He didn't have time to clean off, if you think about it. He didn't have time to go to take a shower. He didn't have time to make himself not smell or change out clothes. He still had evidence of what he was doing, of the sin he was doing. It might have even been a couple days before, but he was covered in the gunk and the trash. People walking through cities, people probably looked at him and didn't want anything to do with him because of the smell and everything that he was covered in. But the father saw something different. He didn't look at the son as a swine. He didn't look at him like he was dirty. He didn't look at him like he was impure. He saw past that. He saw that he was still a son. You might be saying different things over your life. You might call yourself a sinner. You might even think it's too far gone. There might have been things you did this past week or even last night that you did and you regret or you hate. And even there might be situations in your life now that might seem gross, you think are too gross for you to reveal to anybody else. But the father sees something different. The father doesn't speak the same thing. The father looks past that. He's not looking at what you're looking at. He doesn't look at what man looks at. He looks past that. Even when the son first said that to him, he probably didn't even get offended by that. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it says love is not offended. It doesn't take account. It doesn't hold against anything. It doesn't take account of a suffered wrong. So we don't need to either. We don't need to either. You don't need to hold that against yourself. The father, it says the father does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the contents of the heart. It might seem like you're at the end of your rope. It might seem like your sin was too much or your situation is too much. Some of y'all might be living in situations where you're uncomfortable or there doesn't seem like there's any hope at the end of the tunnel. But the Father is waiting. The Father is waiting for you with expectation to clothe you in glory and happiness and joy. He doesn't want you to live in the muck and the mire and in your sin anymore. Even if you have to go back when you leave this place, it doesn't matter. You're not going back into that situation the same. You're going back as a son. You're going back as a daughter because God is calling out to us. God calls out to you. He desires you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter if something was done to you, if someone tried to harm you. God isn't looking at you like man looks at you. He looks past that. He sees your heart. He sees the purity and the hope of your soul. You, everyone in this room today is here for a purpose and a reason. If you are in here, there's a call on the heart, on your heart for God. God has been calling out for you. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in John 6, 37, it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You may have been striving in your own situation. You might have been stuck, feel like you're stuck. There's no hope. You might have even offended someone and you think your family has cut you off. There might even be relationships that are broken because of things that you did in your past. But the Father doesn't care about that. He looks past that. Unconditional love doesn't look at the current situations. It looks at the situation with him. He wants to partner with you. There's a desire for you to be whole. He doesn't want to see you suffering anymore. You don't have to suffer. There's freedom in the kingdom of heaven. He wants to robe you. He wants to pick you up and take those clothes off you and wash you off. But there's only one way. There's only one way. The Father has all that in store for you, but there's only one way, and that is through Jesus, the Son of God, who shed his blood for us that we could live and that we could live like this. We could live freely. That was the point. That was the point of all this. Jesus once died for us so that we could be like the prodigal son, so we could be washed and cleansed by unconditional love of the Father. In 1 John 4:15, it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. People will fail you. Like, I might fail you. I love God, and I might fail you. Your parents might fail you. Your family, your work, people, money will fail you. But Jesus, the love of God, will never fail you. I feel like there's such a hunger in the room. There's such an encounter. Like, even during worship, I felt the presence of the Lord wanting to have an encounter, wanting to have a touch in the room today. So I wanted to pray with y'all today. And even if you could repeat after me, I want to just make it open to y'all. You could repeat after me. But for two things, if you have never had an encounter with the Father, I think today is the day. If you're here in the room, today is the day. And then for those who are in situations where it seems like there's no hope, where your sin or something that you've done in the past that was wrong, even relationships that you've broken or people that you've offended, if you're carrying those things and there's burdens in your heart, you have even for anxiety or all these things or all those negative things, depression, anxiety, or any fear, the Lord wants to get rid of that. And even some of you, I feel like in the room during worship, the Lord was speaking to me. Some of you might say, "Oh, I don't have a father on earth. I don't have a father to go to anymore. He passed away. I don't have a relationship. I don't know where he is." But the kingdom of heaven, God the Father desires to have an encounter with you today. God wants an encounter you today. The Father desires you this morning. So if you could stand to your feet with me. I feel like the Lord just wants us to get in a place where we could receive his presence. So if you need to raise your hands or sit on the ground or come to the front, do whatever you need to get to a place where the Father can encounter you. Don't worry about what your neighbors think. He didn't care. The prodigal son didn't care. He already sold himself short. He said he was no longer worthy. But the Father is calling this morning. He calls you worthy. He desires you today. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you. If you could repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done on the cross, for dying for our sins, for setting us free from the sin, the guilt, the shame, and the condemnation. We invite you in to our hearts this morning to have a relationship with us and for the rest of our lives. And right now, we lay down any fear, any anxiety, any guilt, any shame, any addictions, any thoughts that go against heaven. And we receive all the love of the Father, the unconditional love that sets us free and makes us new again. In Jesus' name, amen.